we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
So when I was in college, soon as I got there, Carmina was at school with me and maybe somebody else in here, but she remembers, soon as I got there, I shot to the top of the popularity charts. And it was nothing but the devil, but I just became super popular. So I created an organization called Blacks by Spiritual Support where we were praying and different things, and it just blew up. And then immediately, all of the fraternities, they started recruiting me, begging me, like begging, because the events I would put on would be huge on campus. They were begging. I couldn't give them the full explanation I could give them now at 54 with the information I have, but I knew it didn't agree with my spirit. I said, I can't do it. I can't tell you why, but I just can't pledge. I just feel like I'm already pledged to somebody. Like somebody already has my heart, my soul, and my mind. Like I don't have... I can't give it to an entity or whatever's behind what you're doing. I didn't know what it was. I just knew I couldn't do it. Yeah, sometimes you can't fully explain it or articulate it. But the Spirit, the Bible said it's an unction of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes nobody has to even teach you. You don't have to know. You just know. But people watch so much and get involved in so much and get desensitized to stuff. And it don't bother them no more. Then the Holy Ghost can't talk to them anymore. Now they arguing against people that's full of the Holy Ghost trying to tell you. Folk think I'm crazy. Ah, that G. Craig. Man, I'm telling the truth. I can prove it.
I might be reaching, y'all. This, but see, I'm from the Pentecostal persuasion, and they scared me off. They were scared. And so I said, let me see but what you guys are about. It made me say, you know what? My assignment is with blue and white.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I heard you know.
Like a pastor.
No.
No, I really don't. Thank you, JT. Benny is too hyper spiritual. Your tattoos are your testimony. No, they are not.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, he used to have tattoos. No, I got my tattoos when I got saved. Not before. After I've been born again for years, I did it because I wanted to do it and it's not a sin. I'm okay. So, what if he got them before? No, it's not. Don't make an excuse for me. I'm comfortable in my skin. 1 Corinthians 2, towards the end, he says, who has known the mind of God in order to instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. You can't tell me nothing. I have the mind of God. What you tell me is your own
business. It rates 200 times a second. It's slowed down 2,000 times. When you get a tattoo, there are tiny needles sticking into your skin. The frequency of the needles is 200 times per second. After the tattoo, your skin will be in a terrible condition. If you are a fan of tattoos, I suggest you watch this video before you consider getting a tattoo. Before the tattoo begins, the tattoo artist will shave the skin. Then the design is printed on the skin. A tool is used to outline the frame of the tattoo. When everything is ready, dense, fine needles travel quickly across your skin. Even if it's a small piece of design, you'll have to endure tens of millions of stitches, and tattoos are painful for the immune system. The pigment molecules in the ink penetrate the dermal layer of the skin. At this point, the immune system begins to recognize these pigment molecules and recognizes them as invaders. So the immune system schedules the immune cells to attack. The immune cells are numerous, but they're too small. They're no match for the pigment molecules. That's why it's so difficult to clean a tattoo completely. It's very likely that the design will stay with you for the rest of your life.
There's a reason why, in nearly every ancient culture, tattooing was never casual. It wasn't something you did on impulse, after a night out, or to commemorate a trend. It was ceremonial, deliberate. Because those who understood the energetic body also understood what few dare to say today, that when the skin is broken with intention and symbolism, a door is opened. And what walks through that door depends entirely on what was invited, consciously or not. In many indigenous and occult traditions, the act of drawing blood during a ritual, combined with symbol and pain, was known to activate spiritual gateways. Pain, after all, is an amplifier. It strips away surface thoughts and opens the field. Blood is a carrier. It holds memory, frequency, and spiritual signature. And the symbol? That's the key. When all three are combined, blood, pain, and geometry, a vibrational lock is broken. Something gets through. Something responds. Tattoos, when performed without spiritual knowledge, can mimic this ritual unintentionally. But the effect doesn't care whether you knew what you were doing. The imprint happens regardless. And if the symbol carries a chaotic, violent, or occult frequency, or even just an unknown one, it may act as a flare in the spiritual realm, a calling card, a broadcast. The Book of Enoch, a text buried by history but preserved in fragments among Ethiopian and Aramaic mystics, contains a chilling passage rarely shared. When the blood is drawn in ritual and the mark sealed in pain, the unseen watches, and some descend.
Many times, in order for us to stay strong in our journey, we must denounce or renounce past actions that opened us up to spiritual issues. Remember what I said on the altar a couple of weeks ago? I told you, old stuff is coming back. It's coming back to test you. Devil has a limited playbook. He's not God. So you got to renounce and denounce things so that you don't have to deal with those things again. Genesis 4:7, if you do well, this is God speaking to Cain. He said, man, if you do the right stuff, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, what is sin doing? Sin crouches at your door and its desire is for you, but you must what? You must what? Now somebody left a comment, witch. But you know, sometimes witches can, you know, motivate you to do something. Left a comment and said, you know, I'm delivered from EX Ministries. I said, okay. No, in my mind, I'd be thinking, what did I say to you? I didn't know who it was, but I'm delivered because God has never called anybody to preach about darkness. Where is the light? Where is the light? Why aren't you teaching about the light? Now, this passage tells us that we have to master the sin that crouches at our door. You know what that means? That means when the Bible says, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. You're not a master if you don't have knowledge. So it is my job to give you knowledge so you can master the sin that is crouching at your door. You know, and I don't have a problem with folks having opinions because I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But some people are stupid. And I know why. And that's what I'm going to teach you. You did something that opened the door that simultaneously closed the door on the truth about you. You know the truth about me, you think. But you don't know the truth about you because you can't hear it. You closed that door with what you did. Things we do to ourselves, oh gosh, can gravely affect our behaviors and many times keep hindering us if we do not break the power of these mistakes and errors. Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions," witchcraft, demons, all of that. And over all, how much?
All
the power. I've given you power to tread over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means do what? Hurt you. So we're not talking about being defeated because the devil is winning. We're talking about things we do to ourselves that gives him access. The difference between denouncing and renouncing. Got to do this because we got to do this. To denounce is different from renounce. Sound the same. But to denounce something, you should denounce when you need to express strong disapproval in a public or formal way. It's the word to use when you want to make a point and be heard loud and clear, whether it's denouncing corruption, bad behavior, harmful practices. This word gives weight to your statement. So basically, because I chose not to pledge, thank God I chose not. Some people chose to and then later on had to renounce. I chose not to, so I denounce. So I'm denouncing Greek letter organizations, Divine Nine and all that. I'm denouncing them. I was never in it, have no blood tied to it, have no spiritual connection to it. It can't function against me in any way. It can't affect my family, my bloodline, my lineage. It can't do any of that because I did not pledge to a false god. But I'm denouncing the act of pledging. Y'all got it? Denouncement prayer, this is how you denounce. I denounce the works of darkness and all that the enemy is doing against me through whatever doorway I inadvertently or unknowingly may have opened. I close the door, block all of his access in Jesus' name. So I'm not only denouncing what I didn't do, but I'm denouncing what I possibly did without knowledge. All you got to do is listen to the focus prayers. Focus prayers cover everything. Amen. Renounce. It's different. Use the smoke. Now you got to renounce it. You pledged, you renounce it. You got tattooed, you renounce it. I never got a tattoo. Thank God I didn't. That don't mean I'm better than you and you got one. That just means I denounce it and you renounce it. Now, please hear me. I have never at ABC taken a position to be better than anybody in here. Matter of fact, I teach you to stop thinking like that, or God will humble you. So it ain't even about being better. If we gonna just measure mistakes, we probably all equal. We gonna measure the spirit of dumb, we probably all will graduate with the same degree. I'm serious. I mean, ain't nobody better than anybody. Hey, you may have murdered somebody with got a bloody hairy axe in your car, and I might have murdered them with my tongue, made them feel like killing themselves. We equal in God's eyes. Now, you gonna do time. I'm not doing time. I'm not doing time. The punishment is different. Amen. But we don't take that position. So to renounce, just because I'm preaching it don't mean I think I'm better. Just because I didn't do things that you may have done. You didn't have my upbringing. You didn't have my holiness upbringing. You definitely didn't have this woman this woman would stop some stuff. Amen. She little. Don't let the size fool you. Mother ain't no joke. Ask these grandkids. But yeah, so she kept me from a lot. Then my daddy, he believed in whipping you with whatever object was in the vicinity. Like, I've been beat with the bottom of a vacuum cleaner just because he was working on it when the teacher called. My daddy working on it, had it open, trying to change the belt, teacher called. Just whatever he's doing when the teacher calls, that's his weapon of choice. Whatever's around. He'll start looking, too, because he wouldn't take the phone call. My mama would just walk in, Craig, teacher called. And he'll just... Daddy, will you finish fixing the vacuum? Now you gotta buy another one. You done bent the frame. But is that not true, Mother? That's a true depiction, whatever's around. Thank God he wasn't a knife sharpener. Blacksmith. Lord, but you should renounce when you are formally given up something that you once held, be it a belief, a title, or association. It's often used in personal context, like renouncing a claim to an inheritance or giving up a position due to more reasons. So this is the announcement you make to the kingdom of darkness. When we're talking spiritual things, I'm no longer a member. When I renounce, I'm making a public statement so that all of the satanic host in the kingdom of darkness can hear my announcement. My tattoos, when you pray over these tattoos, you're making a public announcement. Yes, I have some. Come up here. We're going to pray for it. This is my public announcement to the kingdom of darkness that these are no longer your operatives. They won't operate on your behalf anymore. Piercings, whatever it is, brands, fraternity and sorority brands, all of that stuff. You got to break it because it is an operative whether you wanted it to be or not. I renounce all pledges. I mean, if we're going to be saved, why do we want to be associated with other gods? Well, see, no, see. That's a Greek god. No C. Thou shalt have no other god before thee. If you pledged, it was before you. You don't pledge to something behind you. Well, I pledged to the letter. The letters, what? They belong to the god of your organization. There's no way around this.
Right.
What do you need it for? That's all you got to ask. What do you need it for? Well, it's going to get me in places. God can't do that. Well, it's going to give me. God can't do that. Well, it's going to make me. God can't do that. What is God's job then? I am. I'm making it way too plain. They want it more complicated than this. Somebody sent me a 2-hour video on a preacher trying to explain why he waited till he was old and decrepit to pledge. First of all, that's too long. When I see 2 hours, I automatically know I'm not watching it. Bro, I'm not even skimming. That's too long to skim. And why is it taking you so long to explain it? Just pull out a scripture. Because that's what I'm going to do to denounce it. I'm going to pull out a scripture. It's going to take a few seconds. Thou shalt have no other God before you. Can't sit at a table with God and demons. And Paul was talking to Greeks. Who is Zeus? Who is Zeus? Who did God say he was in Revelations when he talked to the church at Pergamum? Was the altar of Zeus not the seat of Satan? What is Zeus? What is he? What is Zeus? Is he a? He's what? He's a Greek god? Isn't he the leader of the Greek gods? Oh, I can do this all day. Yeah, see, it's easier to just say, "I'll hear cult leader," and then just walk away. Because if we go to talking, bruh, the doctrine is going to get you. Amen? Because the truth can't be denied. You should renounce it. Where I stop? Oh, this prayer of renouncement. I renounce all pledges, allegiances, associations, blood ties, soul ties, and any knowledgeable acceptance of false gods, brands, marks, symbols, charms, readings, conjurings, and any antichrist operation, that's the dancing, stepping, that I may have performed on my body or my mind. I renounce the kingdom of darkness and receive full access to God's kingdom in Jesus' name. You do not have full access to God's kingdom if you have another God. You have been blocked. Can I keep going? Oh, this is my motto. Hurt me with the truth, but never comfort me with a lie. Man, tell me the truth. I got some good news and some bad news. Tell them both. I don't want to just hear the good news. I need to know what's going on. We can no longer gloss over the things we do to ourselves because of how we are feeling or what happened to us. So no matter what happened to you, that did not give you the right to stay drunk. You can't keep drinking and think that you aren't opening yourself up for access to demons. If you're not in your right mind, how can you guard it? So if you're drunk, you have no guardian. If you high smoking, you have no guardian. So we just can't gloss over that and just come to church, "Oh, I'm good now." Bruh, you did some stuff. You opened yourself up, and eventually that stuff's going to start working through you. So when you think you're good, check your pattern of decisions. You've been affected. No, you've been infected. And you need deliverance. You opened yourself up, and you need to close it. It's our fault. Look at somebody say, "It's our fault." Man, this generation blame everybody. Mama didn't. Daddy didn't. But folks, boy, they will blame you. But it's our fault. And it's our fault that we dabbled in dark arts. So we must take responsibility for it and claim victory over it in order to be truly free from it. If it's your fault, you got to deal with it. Amen. You can't blame God. You can't blame church. You can't blame a preacher. Your family is tore up because you did it. All your kids crazy because you did that. And if you did it, fix it. Don't run from it and don't blame nobody. Say, "Look, I got to get this together." Because we all only have one life. Yeah. Ephesians 5 and 11. I have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. That means don't dabble in darkness. Look at somebody and say, don't dabble in darkness. Man, when you went and got that reading, played that spell card game, played light as a feather when you was young, played with that Ouija board, the toy one from Parker Brothers. Went in a tattoo parlor, got that ink. He's probably drunk, high, mad, angry, something. That's worse. Whatever you did, pierce that belly button, pierce that tongue, whatever you did, you changed you. And you got to undo it. People that do not denounce, renounce these things will struggle with truth. That's why you're squirming now. This is your last Sunday. It's your last Sunday. You got to struggle with truth now. It's a struggle. So now you got to go find some folks that don't like us. So you can yoke up with them. And that's why. Yeah, that's it. Is that it? Truth will hinder them and make them feel as if God's way, oh gosh, hear this. Make them feel like if God's way is, that God's way is not fair or his way is not even worth it. There are many today that say they believe but struggle with the truth about themselves. Now, how do you believe in God and you can't accept the truth about yourself? Romans 1 and 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a what? Lie. You're changing the truth into a lie so you don't have to accept it. These are people that say they believe, and yet when they feel they aren't making enough money, or they aren't living successful enough, or they just are not happy with their lives, they start struggling to believe the truth. 1 Timothy 6 and 5 says, perverse disputants of men of, what kind of minds they got? Corrupt minds. And they are what of the truth? Just don't have no truth. Because they suppose that gain is godliness. How many of you know gain is not godliness? How many of you been godly and broke? Godly and broke. I mean, believe in God for the next meal, but trusting him and knowing he's going to provide. Amen. Boy, we've been there. Been there, done that. Man, rent due and rent ain't in the bank. You waiting on the phone to ring. Pick up the phone, it's just covered in blessed oil. You anointed the phone the day before. Ye shall ring, ringeth thee. Somebody need to help me pay this bill. You been there, but it didn't have nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with you. Because once you got to the place where you knew how to handle money, you knew how to give consistently, you knew how money worked, things got better, didn't it? Amen? Didn't things get better? Well, then that means that it wasn't God, it was you. Man, I know I'm preaching. Folk crazy. Leviticus 19 and 28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. That's all I need to hear. Now, some of y'all may not have been taught that. We was taught that. Tattoo wasn't an option because that's a mark. And it's for the dead. That means it's communion with another realm. That's what it's saying. It's communion with another realm. Flesh for the dead is communion with another realm. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, that's still human existence. Amen. Funny how they want certain things to be Old Testament and certain things to not be. Yeah, they want Solomon's money and then they want to sleep around on their wife like Solomon. Oh, you using David for everything in the Old Testament. Okay, what about David? Okay, what about this? This is in the Old Testament too. Well. Nah, man, you gotta get it right. So we don't make cuttings in our flesh. All right. I didn't even have a fancy background for you because this all happened late. Tattoo inks contain heavy metals that have been linked to a large number of health problems. Some of y'all are having problems right now because of it. A lot of people get cancer, neurodegenerative diseases. Among the most concerning metals found in tattoos are mercury, lead, antimony, beryllium, cadmium, and arsenic. Yes, I said arsenic. So what is your immune system doing when this stuff enters your bloodstream? It's fighting. If your immune systems and the tattoo go away? No. So that means your immune system is constantly fighting. Right? If your immune system's constantly fighting, then it's busy. And the doctor here, Dr. Marco, will tell you if your immune system is busy or taxed, then it can't do other things that it is responsible for. This is just the natural side of this. Black tattoo inks are often made from soot-containing products of combustions. Soot? Y'all know what soot is? Yeah. Let's just say PAHs. How about that? Among the PAHs in the inks is benzoapyrene, a compound identified in an Environmental Protection Agency toxicity report. So they put stuff in here that the EPA report calls most potent and well-documented skin carcinogen. Cancer causing. The EPA, those the dudes in the moon suits. When they come out, run. But you can't run if it's on your body. That's just the natural side. Throughout history, the tattoo bears the mark of paganism, demonism, Baal worship, shamanism, mysticism, heathenism, cannibalism, and just about every other pagan belief known. The tattoo has, look at somebody say never. It's never been associated with Bible-believing Christians. And whenever and wherever in history Christianity appears, tattoos disappear. Yeah. They disappear. When they go to indigenous countries and islands and whatever and preach the gospel, folks stop doing it. Not in America. The only exception, 20th century, lukewarm, carnal, disobedient, Laodicean Christians. The birth of the tattoo has always borne the fruits of pagan religion and mysticism. Without exception, research after research, study after study, and I have researched after research, and I have studied after study for many years. The root of tattoo never wavers. It always links back to opening up a spiritual portal. Tattooing is often a magical rite in the more traditional cultures, and the tattooist is respected as a priest or a shaman. That's from the book, Exotic Art of Skin Decoration. I read that book. The actual tattooing process, which involved complex rituals and taboos, could only be done by priests and was associated with beliefs which were secrets known only to the members of priestly caste. Historically, tattooing originated in connection with ancient rites of scarification and bloodletting, which were associated with religious practices intended to put the human soul in harmony with supernatural forces and ensure continuity between life, this life, and the next. That's a book on tattoo history, which I also read. So everybody is telling you, trying to tell you that this was a spiritual process you went through, and you want to deny that and say, it's just a decision I made. And the devil loves that because you keep the door open. He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then do what? Cleanse us. Yeah. But if you don't confess it, if you make it okay, the door stays open. Tongue piercing was practiced in a ritual form. In a ritual form by the ancient Aztecs, the Maya of Central America, the Hari, Quakuiti, and Tlingit tribes of the American Northwest. The tongue was pierced to draw blood, to propitiate the gods, and to create an altered state of consciousness so that the priest or shaman could communicate with the gods. Who did Paul say the gods were? Demons. This form of mutilation encourages unclean spirits and plagues the victim with uncontrollable sexual urges that lead to promiscuous behavior. Navel piercings were ancient sexual rituals to open up an entryway for spirits to enter into the body. Many ancient rituals were performed using the belly button. The navel was considered an erogenous zone for women in ancient times and was always to be kept covered for protection from unclean spirits. Why do they want the belly button? Well, when you're born, you are tethered to your mother through your belly button. What does the umbilical cord provide? Nutrients, nourishment. Oh, let's use a better word. Life. So why do they want to open that up again? The piercing would signify that a spirit had entered the woman and she was promiscuous or available for illicit sex acts. Wasn't until the invention of the bikini in 1955 that American women began to show their belly button in public. They used to couldn't even show it. I Dream of Jeannie, she couldn't even show it. She still found a way to try to be sexy, didn't she? But she couldn't show her belly button. She couldn't show it. In an 1985 Time magazine interview, Madonna was quoted as saying, "I have the most perfect belly button and any. When I stick my finger in my belly button, I feel a nerve in the center of my body shoot up my spine." Well, that's just demonic. Why are you sticking your finger there anyway? You're just nasty. The kings and queens of old claimed their right to be leaders in royalty because of their inbred bloodlines. They had a mixture of human and alien DNA, which they feel gives them a connection to the gods. Okay. That's some heavy stuff. I don't have time to go in it, but of course that's from part 8 of The Truth Behind Hip Hop, where I went and explained the bloodline, the Cain bloodline, the Canaanites, and the antediluvian age of Noah. So now they're digging up, they've excavated, they've got the bones, they found the bones of the old ones and the ones that died in the flood and all that. So now they're harvesting the blood. Now they're putting the blood in everything. They're putting the blood in your food, they're putting blood in everything, trying to make everybody get the alien DNA. And, you know, they're coming up with vaccines and shots and stuff to activate certain aspects of it and just basically turning everyone into controlled beings. But I got a little twist about that. I can't tell you now. Be part 15. But that's what they're doing. So, yeah. So the higher ups, this is why they need children's blood. They need the blood of a live child to mix with the alien DNA to form the concoction that gives them royal blood and makes their bloodline royalty. And so everybody wants to be royal on earth. They want to be worshipped. They want to be high up. They want the respect, the prestige, whatever the case. So they go after the Aleister Crowley mixture, combination, whatever, and the Books of Solomon, all that stuff I talk about to come up with this mixture of human and alien DNA. And this is going to make them able to connect with Lucifer, Satan, and be big on in his kingdom and stand against Jesus when he returns. You still crazy though. because Jesus is God. God made Satan. You're crazy. Look at somebody and say, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. For those that are not born into this DNA, they can receive a spiritual transformation as Cain did. It's what God said. Sin is waiting. It's crouching. It's waiting to join with you and give you a spiritual transfusion. And you can get it by shedding innocent blood or offering a blood sacrifice. What do you think happens when you get branded? What do you think happens when you get tattooed? What do you think happens when you get pierced? That's spilling blood. That's a ritual. Rituals give rites of passage into the evil Canaanite bloodline. Secret societies, Greek letter, frats and sorors, Freemasonry, etc., are movements that are submitting to the gods of their movement. When you go through initiation and hazing, you are performing a ritual, a rite of passage into the evil bloodline of Satan worshiping. When you receive these rites, you no longer serve God, but you serve the God of your organization. Because the Bible said you can't serve two. You can't, look at somebody and say, you can't serve two. Did the Bible say that? You become an instrument of the false gods, and you are used by them instead of the true God. You bring curses upon yourself, your family, and give the enemy access to your life's plan as he guides you into self-fulfillment and self-gratification. Knowledge of self is the enemy of God. Knowledge of self is the enemy of God. And every other belief other than Christianity teaches it. Knowledge of self. Well, knowledge of self, where did that come from? The Garden of Eden. Summary! God is not responsible for your financial status. That was weak clapping in that section. Because folk don't want to hear this. They want to go over to Kenneth Copeland's church. He teaches the opposite. He teaches the very opposite. You say you're supposed to be rich. Look at somebody and say, I'm not rich. Somebody don't even want to say that because if I say I don't want to speak it, I might be. Let me assure you, if anybody questions you need help, I'll come and help you with that. No, you're not. If you're working, you ain't rich. You might have some ducats tucked away. Rich people don't work. God is not responsible for that. Don't come here for that. Don't get online and talk about what I did to your finances and your house. That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm teaching. I don't have nothing to do with church. I purposely don't even look at who gives what here. Because that don't matter to me. I ain't promoting nobody because they make money. Amen. I don't want nobody around me just because I'm a pig. A lot of churches make that mistake. All the board members are the most successful people in the church. It's like the government. But it's God's government. Amen. It's not the U.S. government. I'm not running this like that. No. So I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you give. I don't have to know. That's on you. That's between you and God. That's going to bless you. That's not going to change me at all. So it's no need of me sitting up here comparing what folks do financially. That's not my job. And that's not God. God is not responsible for your financial status, your prevalence in society, or your self-esteem. God's not responsible for your self-esteem. Your parents are. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, what's going to happen? Folk blaming God for stuff. Mad at me for stuff that's your responsibility. Those your kids. It's your wife. It's your husband. Your family. Your choices. You chose him. These are things that are fashioned by our own behaviors and our own diligence. Sure, God blesses us when we give, but we must first earn what is given. So it's up to us to do what? Be faithful in a what? A few things, and consistent in what? But the allegiance to darkness will many times, please hear, cause us to blame God for our lack and then blame the truth teacher for our failure. If we do not get free from these operatives that are working in our lives, we will continue to struggle to believe what is right. This is what is wrong with most modern day churchgoers. We need to behaviorally and verbally denounce darkness and then renounce our participation in it. That's the problem. We went all week doing something we shouldn't have been doing and then wonder why things are changing for us. So we got to link it to this. We got to denounce behaviorally and verbally denounce darkness and renounce our participation in it. This will keep us loving truth, following God's truth teachers, and being satisfied with who God made us to be. Amen. Be sober. Don't get drunk. Don't get high. Don't over-medicate. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about trying to find ways to get you. Everyone stand to your feet. I don't know whether you got to denounce. I don't know whether you have to renounce. But whatever one it is, we're going to do that right now. Everyone bow your heads. You know. So whatever it is, Father God, I denounce it, or I renounce my association. I renounce my pledge. I take it back. I renounce it. I close that door. I denounce it. I let it go before it came back. I denounce it right now, whatever it is, it's done. It's done. You are faithful and just. We're all here in repair mode. Nobody being better than anybody. Fix us, Lord. Fix us, Lord. Whatever we went back to, whatever keeps coming back, whatever's trying to come back, whatever is speaking, whatever door is open, close it right now in the name of Jesus. When I walked into that tattoo place and made that blood covenant, I wasn't in the right space. Now that I'm right with you, God, I need that door closed. I need the struggle associated with those marks to cease. I need the struggles and the issues associated with whatever was done, that pledge, that brand, that piercing. Close the door, Lord. Close the door. You are so much greater, God, than the kingdom.
of darkness, shine your light on us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every blood covenant is broken. Every pledge is broken. Every union, soul tie, every operative on our physical bodies, we cancel it right now. We won't be vexed by it. We won't vex others with it. Clean us up in Jesus' name. Every door, every chain, all bondage, cease in Jesus' name. All witchcraft, powers of darkness that have been operating through any of these actions, cease right now in the name of Jesus. Marriage breaking spells, spells of singleness, aloneness, loneliness, spells put on us by people to stop us from getting married. Whatever the case, it stops right now. Ceases right now. Perverse spirits, spirits sent to us by exes and people we were tied to intimately, we break those right now in the name of Jesus. All marriage hindrances, we break right now in the name of Jesus. Abortions, blood covenants, blood leakage, wound, the navel piercing, all of it, we break it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we believe, God, that you've given us power over anything that the enemy could have done or anything that we could have done. And we use that power right now to claim our freedom. In Jesus' name, we are free. And whom the Son sets free is free. Indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's 12:24. I need about 30 minutes. So I want to make two lines. I want to probably Sabeda, you and Elder Ken, if you could come over here, you and Elder Cleveland, and maybe some of the deacons, and we're going to pray for tattoos. I got oil in my office, if you need to get it, my file cabinet, or it may be over there. And then women, same thing, brands, piercings, tongue or belly button, and tattoos. And we're going to pray over you, just touch you with the oil. Not long prayers, we can't pray for all the other stuff. You get your team. I'm thinking this little corner right here, we could probably utilize that, because we don't know where you got it and where it is. And so if you could just kind of funnel Walter the security. Okay, he went to get the oil. Walter the security, you can just go through there, or you can have funnel them through there. Okay, that way that's kind of blocking that way where they pray for you. The women, you take that line. Okay, men over here. Jay, and if you want that, just come up, let's line up, let's do it quickly. Women, start where they are, and then they're going to take you through there, and you come out the other end. Okay. Is that the only one in the whole church? Well, this may take longer than 30 minutes, but that's okay. It's worth it. Amen. It's how EX Ministry started. This is what we did. I did it this past weekend, and people are still emailing me saying how their lives have just changed. And all right, let's go. Come on. They're going to touch you where the tattoo is, and they're going to pray over you and just break the power of it. In the name of Jesus, power is broken. Funnel them in through here when they finish. It's a brand. It's a piercing. Hallelujah. This stuff has been operating. It's been open. It's been open in your life. This has been mind, thought, struggles. This stuff does that. You gotta close that door. Close that door in the name of Jesus. Close that door. Not a long prayer now. Just touch and rebuke it. Let them go. Amen. The prayer's already really been said. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your love. Loving us. Caring about us. God, in this last hour, these last years, days, whatever on earth, Father God, you care enough about your people to still work things out for us, even when we made bad choices, bad decisions, just emotional decisions, decisions based on trauma, pain, whatever the case, you are still there. And so we love you for it. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.